This is the Celebrity Authority Show. Please welcome your host, Sam Cawthorne.
So guys, welcome to another awesome show here at Celebrity Authority Show. I'm super excited today because we have Gail Smirden here. Gail, thank you so much for joining us.
Always a pleasure to talk to you, Sam.
So Gail, one thing I love about you is you have this real obsession to fix workplaces. Now tell us a little bit more about who you are and what you do.
Well, you're right. I do like to fix workplaces, but I sort of like them to fix themselves, really. I just come in and help. My name's Gail Smirden. I'm a PhD in sociology. I'm really interested at the moment in workplace incivility.
Incivility? What do you mean by that?
Okay, so if you think about the workplace and whether or not people are coming along and enjoying what they do at work, you have people who are engaged and enjoy what they do. At the other end of the spectrum, you have people who are being bullied and harassed and discriminated against. But just before you get to that point, there's rudeness and incivility at work, which can lead into bullying. So if you want to stop workplace bullying, then you need to catch it early. And that's one of the things that I like to look at. And there's a lot of research in this area at the moment.
Isn't it interesting? Because first of all, most people sort of think of bullying in the school playground. We look at schools and how they bully, but it happens in the workplaces and it happens heaps. Is that right?
All the time, yeah. There's a lot of investment by organisations in just uncovering workplace bullying and remedying it because it costs businesses, but more importantly, it impacts people. So you want to go to work and have a great experience at work.
So tell me something, why do people bully? Like, is it for a power trip? Is it because I want to put people down, or is it because they're stressed or have got some level of anxiety or they've got something wrong at home? Well, why do people, those bullies, why do they bully? Or maybe they don't even know that they bully.
Yeah, well, I think all of those things, Sam. Yeah. We can sort of pick on any of those. There's lots of reasons why it's happening, and it's not always just to do with the person and their particular psychology or their fears, but it's usually fear-based. Something's going on with them. It can also be quite structural. So you really need to look at what's going on with people, but also what are the structures that we put in place to support people at work? And do those support bullying? Are we promoting people who are exhibiting bad behaviours? Or are we really saying, no, you've got to speak up and stop bullying in the workplace? So it's structural as well as individual.
Okay. And Gail, tell me a little bit more about why you so interested in this. Like, tell us more about your story and what took you to this place of now trying to understand how we can combat and prevent this happening.
Well, it's sort of a funny story, I suppose, the aha moment when I thought this is really something I have to do something about. I was in a cafe in Melbourne and obviously having great coffee because that's what you have when you're in Melbourne.
I must admit that about Melbourne. Go on.
And I was sitting at a table and I was waiting for my friend to turn up, and on either side of the little bench, there were a group of people. There were two people sitting and they were chatting, and I was sort of just eavesdropping a little bit. And I realised that they were both talking about the fact that they were having really poor workplace experience. You know, one had a manager who was psychotic and, you know, obviously promoted above their abilities, and the other one was talking about a really hostile co-worker. And I thought, wow, you know, this is just everywhere. I can't go anywhere without hearing these conversations. And then I thought, you know what, the friend who is going to come and sit in front of me now, that's what she's coming to talk about, the fact that she's having a really hard time at work, and I'm going to try and find a way to support her. And then I thought about, okay, this is actually something that's happened to me as well on several occasions. And
is it normally a boss or a co-worker? Or?
In this instance, it was a boss a little bit higher up the chain. And she was, a psychopath. And
explain to me, like for me, as soon as I think it was a psychopath, I think of those people like in a place of psychiatric mental health.
No, there's a lot of discussion around corporate psychopaths and how some of the things that we promote in our organisations are actually psychopathic behaviours. So,
it's not like a serial killer psychopathic behaviour.
They can appear very, very lovely and warm and charming and nice when they want to, but then they will flip. And this woman's sort of expert at, she didn't bury the knife in your back because she was really too concerned with just stabbing you in the face, really. She didn't have to go in your back. She
metaphorically, I hope.
Yes. And this isn't an uncommon experience, but, you know, I remember how physically it affected me. I would drive to work, I'd get out of the car, and my legs would not want to walk into the office. They were saying, my body was saying, no, don't go there. Don't put yourself through this again. So,
do you think that she was aware of what she was doing or not? Do you think these psychopathic,
really,
you know, behaviour, they're aware of it?
I think people rationalise things that they do. So I don't really go to what's going on in her head. My focus is really on supporting people who are in a bad situation and to either get out or to just cope while they're there if they don't have that option.
So can you tell us how do we now? Because let's say, for example, I've got a psychopathic boss, and I don't really know what to now do. Do I be assertive? Do I confront, or do I withdraw? Like, give me something that I can do as an individual to try and feel great walking into my working environment rather than wanting to stay in the car and having this physiology effect on me. What do I do, and what did you do?
Okay, well, at the end of the day, sometimes you just have to get out. You can't always do that straight away. You just, you know, financially and for lots of reasons, you can't always do that. So you need to go back to your values and make sure that you're really, really strong in yourself and you know what your values are and you don't let people affect that. You have to think about what your outcome is. What is it that you want to happen in any given situation? Mm. So how do you have conversations with people so that the hostility is mediated and...
Is that about being more assertive? And
it can be, but not necessarily. Yeah. If you think about an event happens, and rather than just reacting to the event, you think about what it is that you want to happen. Then you can just stop for a moment and think, what I want out of this is to leave the office in a comfortable state, or I want to calm things down. If you think about what it is that the best outcome, then you can shape your response. So it gives you control back. So that's one of the things you can do, but there are a lot of other things that you can do. That's just one example.
So if you're a manager and leader and you know that this is affecting your workplace, productivity, culture, etc., what's something that they could do?
Well, they could ask me to come in and talk to them, and I can share my Work Nice program with them.
Hey, tell us a little bit more about your Work Nice program.
Work Nice program, it's tailored to different organisations, and at the moment we're looking at... my focus really is on the individual staff member, but I'm also working on projects for managers and structural change that can happen to support, civil workplaces. But we don't just want workplaces to be civil, we want them to be inspiring. So, I come in and tailor a program for individual companies.
And what does this program look like? Are they a number of touch points, or is it pretty much developing a new process manual? What some of the deliverables and the outcomes that they're going to get from working with the Work Nice program?
Okay, so we look at a lot of communication skills, resilience building, and other things for individuals is coaching around how to deal in difficult situations.
Yeah.
So some of the things. Yeah, there's lots of different tools I have in my tool belt that I can pull out as needed.
Absolutely. And you're a doctor, yeah?
I have a PhD in sociology, yes.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm hoping
to do some
research.
So you're certainly qualified in this area. And obviously, you know, the depth of knowledge and the content that you would have around this would be quite profound.
And building every day.
Yeah,
there's always a lot to learn. There's always more to learn. Yeah. I'm a huge nerd, really.
Hey, tell us a little bit more about your, what do you love doing in your free time? Like, okay. What's your third space?
Well, yeah. It's interesting that you should say that right after I've called myself a nerd, because one of the things that I really like to do is I like to go on a holiday built around learning more stuff. So all of my holidays are based around going to an interesting conference or doing a particular course or meeting people in other organisations like mine who are me, but they're. So, and I like to travel around the world and do that.
Where's your most favourite place you love going?
Well, my next place will hopefully be New York for a particular summit.
I love New York.
Yeah, it's heaps of fun. It's, just...
You've been there before?
Yeah, yes. Yep. Yeah. And hopefully at some point I could just, pop up to Boston and do something in Harvard. That would be fun.
Wow, that's great.
And see what happens.
So Gail, thank you so much for joining us here at the Celebrity Authority
Show.
However, before you go, we have a segment here.
There's always something with you, Sam.
Yes, there's always something. There's always something else. So before you go, we have a section here which is called 10 Questions in 60 Second Challenge. Do you accept the challenge, Gail?
I have to accept the challenge, Sam. You know that.
All right. So Gail, your time starts now. Favorite color?
Orange.
Favorite food?
Cheese.
Oh, I love cheese.
Dauphinois. Like
blue cheese or
Dauphinois.
Dauphinois, totally awesome. Okay, favorite celebrity?
Alain de Botton.
Who's that?
He's a philosopher.
Oh.
I'm a nerd.
Nice. All right. Favorite actor?
John Cusack.
Oh, which movie is your favorite in that?
Serendipity is pretty good.
Oh, very good. Yeah. Favorite professional speaker?
Sean Acor.
Sean Acor, yeah, The Happiness Advantage.
Yeah, that's
great. Cool. Books as well.
Sorry, Sam.
No. Favorite book?
At the moment, small, Beyond Measure, Margaret Heffernan.
Oh, yeah. Favorite movie?
The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance.
I haven't seen that one.
It's a 1960s John Ford black and white Western.
I might put it on my list. Favorite city?
Melbourne, with London very close behind.
Very good. Mm. Favourite drink?
Gin and tonic.
Gin and tonic, great. Mm-hmm. Perfect after a nice busy day or straight after a TV interview.
Indeed.
Favourite pizza topping?
Margarita, I'm a traditionalist.
Oh, very good. And Gail, if you would be an animal, which animal would you be?
Well, a meerkat, because I like peeking up and looking at things.
Hey, Gail, thank you so much for coming here on the Celebrity Authority Show. We'll see you guys again in the next week's episode.